You're listening to the RightStream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at RightStream and hashtag RightStream. Thanks for listening to the RightStream Radio Network.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am your host number one, Lisa Tarvis, and host number two, Daria Ann DiGiovanni. Hello, Daria. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So I wanted to give everybody an idea of what tonight's show is going to be about. Tonight we're going to be talking about domestic violence awareness. And October, as it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And Daria and I thought they were two great topics, obviously, that we wanted to talk to on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss this month. And so what I did was invite the Domestic Violence Center in my area, which is Domestic Violence Center of Chester County, to join us, and we were delighted that they accepted, and we have their CEO and their Director of Development and Communications with us tonight, and we're going to be talking about domestic violence, which is a huge, very important subject. Right now, it's really hot in the, you know, because of the Ray Rice thing. Well, you know what, way before Ray Rice was around and way after Ray Rice's story's gone and he's wherever, domestic violence is a huge global-wide problem. And so we want I don't want anyone thinking that this is about the reason that it's hot in the headlines right now. This is an important topic regardless of what's going on in the world with football. So anyway, I just want to welcome everyone again to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, and we're a weekly talk show. Daria Ann and I host together. Where we focus on women's issues. And so you will find lots about it. We're on the RightStream Network, by the way. The RightStream Network is at rightstreamradio.com, where you can find out more about all of our shows and all of our hosts. So I want to read the bios of these two lovely women that are going to be joining us tonight and then welcome them onto the show. Dolly Wideman-Scott has been the CEO of Domestic Violence Center since 1996. She has more than 30 years of experience in the field of domestic violence and is responsible for the overall operation and organization. Ms. Wildman-Scott serves on a number of countywide coordinating bodies and is the diversity chair for the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence. She also serves on the board for the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence. Then we have also joining us Terry Moody, who's the Director of Development and Communications. And Terry has worked in the nonprofit field for over 10 years, specializing in grant writing, public relations, marketing, and special events. She is the past president of the Women's Referral Network of Chester County, a charter member of the Women in Business organization, and served on the Chester County Women's Commission. So these two ladies from the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County are with us tonight. And that website, everyone, just so you know, is DVCCC, so DV and then three C's .com. And welcome to both of you, Terry and Dolly. Great. Thank you so much for being on the show. Great to have you.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Good.
Thanks,
Darian. Darian's in the background there somewhere too, and we're gonna be bombarding you guys, I think, with questions because there's a lot of, like I said in the opening of the show, there's a lot going on right now with Ray Rice and the and the you know, the NFL and all of that, and it kind of irritates me in a way, because it's like all of a sudden people are paying attention, and I don't know why everybody had to see this football player knock out his wife for it to become so aware. But even that, I mean, I'm having fights with people, I'm arguing with people about this situation. Oh, he should be allowed back in the NFL, and going on and on and on about it. And I'm like, I cannot believe I'm putting my energy into this, because this is a situation that has been going on for such a long time. It is not just recent. It isn't just in football or in one area of life at all. And I mean, I think that you, Dolly, you know better than anyone, if you spent 30 years working with domestic violence victims.
Oh, yes. Domestic violence is a crime, and anyone who commits a crime should be held accountable for that crime. Basically, as an organization, we've been in existence since 1976, and with that, we provide services to more than 3,000 victims per year, and so they come from every walks of life. And as with victims, their partners, their abusive partners, also come from every walk of life. So, again, anyone who is a perpetrator of a crime should be held accountable, and that domestic violence should never be tolerated in any community, in any sports, any profession, et cetera.
Have you guys been getting more inquiries, more attention, which is, I guess, a very good thing for you, you know, to be getting attention. But has this situation with football and the NFL, has this brought more attention to domestic violence, do you think, in a good way?
Yes, I think this is Terry. I do believe it's definitely shining a light where there was none before.
Right.
And here at the shelter, I really couldn't tell you statistically at this point, because, you know, we have to analyze our data if we've gotten more calls. And also our calls are confidential, so not everybody here knows, you know, why somebody is calling. But I can tell you just in my part, because I also work with volunteers, that I've gotten more offers of people coming in to volunteer because that situation made them angry and they wanted to do something about it. I also find when I'm out and about doing outreach education and networking since then, that it is a topic of conversation that people are coming up, they're talking about it. Personally, I think also we're seeing in the news that now more people are stepping up to say that, you know, that they were a victim.
Right.
This is not something we normally see with public figures, you know, for sure doing that. When the bullying first came up as an issue, now bullying, of course, also has gone on way too long, mm-hmm. and it certainly is a good thing to bring out into the light, but it was interesting to me how many celebrities would come out and say, I was bullied as a kid, and it became a huge movement. And actually, my hope now is that with domestic violence, because that certainly is a form of bullying, you know, that more people will come out, that people listen to, you know, that will say that they also were a victim.
Right. I think it has done that. What I found, I guess, the most irritating part about the whole situation was the conversations I'm having with people, and people pick my brain about it because this is my issue, this is my thing, this is for whatever reason, and I've never been a victim of domestic violence at all, but for some reason it's my pet project. I don't know why, it just always has been. And you know what? And a lot of it does come down to the bullying. I find bullies to be incredibly pathetic, and I think that's a lot. This is like the ultimate type of bullying, you know. I don't know. I just it's always been my thing, but I guess for me, when I'm having these conversations, it all turns back to how long this guy should be suspended from the NFL, and I'm like, really? That's what we're talking about here, you know. It's not how about the fact that this woman is afraid, didn't speak out at the time. How come it took, what, you know, an actual videotape to get that to that point. So what I guess I want to ask you guys is why? Why does that happen? Why do so many victims remain silent?
Again, there are many reasons why victims remain silent. And the most common is the fear that there will be another situation, and the next time it could be fatal. It could lead to death.
Right.
Many times it could be because they have children together, and with that it might be the fear that the abusive partner might take control and take the children away. And that's happened in many, many cases that we've seen the abusive partner just flee to another state, another country with the children, and then it becomes a really long-term and custody battle for the victim of abuse. Again, a lot of times the public in general, they're really asking the wrong question. That instead of asking why does she stay, they should really be asking, well, why is he abusing, and why aren't the laws more stringent, and how come they're not really making batterers more accountable for the abuse? Again, as you recognize that abuse, unfortunately, it's in every community, and that no community is immune from abuse. It's in every backyard. It's in all socioeconomic levels. It's unfortunately a major problem, and has been a problem since the inception of mankind.
Yeah.
So again, the question should really, really be turned around, and what we all need to continue to do is really to support individuals who are victims of abuse, and not to judge, but to
Right. Listen,
lend a hand, really reach out, let them know that they are not alone in their situation, and that there are organizations in every community that provide services for victims of abuse, and those services can range from emergency shelter, hotline, and legal advocacy, legal representation, et cetera, that there's a gamut of services available in every community for individuals who are victims of abuse, and also the services are also available for their dependent children.
Right. I think that one of the reasons that, you know, one of the reasons that I think, you know, the way that why women stay, why I question why somebody would stay in that situation, A, is because I've never been in that situation. So it's very easy for me to say that, obviously. But the second thing is, I think that this show, so much about this show and about, I guess, me and me as a person, is about empowering women and making them know that they deserve so much better. And I'm assuming that you guys have programs for building people up. You know what I mean? That because I know with abuse from, you know, when my first marriage, there was definitely verbal abuse. There's no doubt. I mean, there was just this beating down, making me feel, you know, like I was a nobody. Like without him, I would just melt away and not exist. And I left. I mean, I got out of the marriage. But I guess, you know, I know that it took, if I hadn't had a job that was really important to me and that I felt like I was needed in this position, I don't know where I would have ended up. I don't know how it would have turned out for me. So, you know, do you think that's part of it, A? Do you think that the people's support network, including their job, is a piece of it? And do you think that and do you guys offer in Chester County, do you guys offer programs that help women feel more important, that feel more empowered?
This is Terry. Absolutely. Our tagline, if you want to call it that, when you look at our logo, is freedom through empowerment. So that is a huge focus of our counseling, to empower our participants to, you know, to take control of their lives and through education or work, you know, financial self-sufficiency, but also just how they're feeling about themselves. And that's a big part of and sometimes a very long counseling journey, you know, between our participants and our counselors who are wonderful. But I did want to make I think an important point that when we're talking about domestic violence, and Lisa, you tied into this when you talked about your first marriage, it's important to remember that a large part of domestic violence or abuse is verbal abuse. That's huge. And a lot of people who go through that will even say it can be worse than physical abuse, verbal abuse. So that is really big. So I think sometimes we need to get the picture out of our head of the burning bed and the battered woman.
Right.
And also that it's always a woman, because our stats now are showing about 1 in 3 women, about 1 in 4 to 7 men. It's not as clear with men because they're not as likely to report. But believe me, women can be just as aggressive and vicious sometimes, you know, and more men need to speak out, you know, against that. And with teenagers, 1 in 3 teenagers, it doesn't matter if they're a boy or a girl. So, again, young girls can be very aggressive, you know, as well. But as far as our programs are concerned, definitely working on empowering. We and I'm sure other, you know, centers do throughout the country as well. Whatever we can't provide as far as, you know, job training or help with finances, we refer to other agencies who do. And again, as far as their own counseling about how they're feeling about themselves, our counselors work very hard on that, on improving that self-image.
I think that's great. I think that's awesome, because I think that's so much a big part of it. You know, for me, I know if I hadn't had my family and I hadn't had my career, I would probably have stayed. I mean, I have to be honest. I don't know that I would have had the nerve to leave. I mean, that takes. Nobody likes change. Change is uncomfortable, no matter what, and no matter how bad your situation is. Change is so uncomfortable, and I think that's a big part of it. Nobody's comfortable with having to make such big changes. But the point is, even if you live in Chester County and you have, or anywhere, by the way, we're talking about Chester County tonight because we have Chester County on the phone with us on the air. But no matter where you live, there you do have friends. You don't have to feel like you don't have friends. You have friends, because you can call one of these agencies, and these agencies become, you know, your advocate. They become your best friends, the ones that will hold your hand through the entire process, and that's important. Also, I want to focus a lot on the teenage aspect of things, because actually, you know, I know some things about teenage dating violence, things like that. But I didn't really realize, I didn't understand, I guess, how bad it was till I was on your website at dvccc.com, and you have an entire tab for what is dating violence. Can you guys talk a little bit about that?
Well, when dating violence, the difference really between domestic violence and dating violence, first of all, maybe that would help. When we talk about domestic violence, it's a pattern of abuse, whether it be physical, sexual, mental, emotional, financial, between intimate partners or between members of a family. With dating violence, it's not necessarily intimate. It may be or may not be, but it would be partners, you know, in a dating relationship, who are experiencing, again, either physical, emotional, mental, sexual abuse, and it is rampant right now. It really is about 1 in 3, and kind of tying into the bullying, you know, aspect that we talked about earlier about how common bullying is. It's kind of the same thing, only it's between dating partners.
Why all of a sudden is it becoming, is it that it's just been going on forever and nobody's really noticed it, or has something changed in society that teenagers are just meaner or more abusive or what?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. You know, there could be so many reasons. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, we could save the television or movies or video games. I wish we knew the answer to that, because if we did, maybe, you know, we could definitely put an end to it, you know, in that way.
Right.
But in the meantime, what we try to do here, and we've been doing it more and more, is going out to the high schools and talking to the kids with teen dating violence awareness education. And we have a whole program. We show them. There's a lot of very, very good YouTube videos where it shows their peers, both male and female, talking about, you know, love is respect .org is a very good website, very good resource for that. And we talk to the kids about recognizing what dating violence is, what are the red flags. We talk to them about cell phone stalking, which is huge. We have little videos, you know, that play that out in a little story, you know, about how when a couple is first dating, and in this case it does show the girl receiving a text, and it's first, you know, I love you, everything is so wonderful, and then it becomes more and more ominous and frequent to the point that it's pretty scary. And so we talk to the kids about not breaking up alone. That's very important. But what we also try to do, remember, if you're talking to a room of one in three teenagers is in the situation, they're in both sides of the situation. You're talking to abusers or you're talking to victims. So we really need to address the fact that if a teenager is seeing themselves as the abusive partner, there is hope for them. It's not too late. Quite often they're repeating a cycle that they're seeing in their home. They're acting how they think, you know, a man or a woman acts, you know, in this type of a relationship. So I think that's very important to recognize that there is hope for abusers. They're not all monsters. There's hope for them.
Lisa, I would add that in many cases, victims of abuse, they have reported to us that they really didn't know that they were a victim of abuse. And that is the younger population as well as the older population, that they both express the same information that, wow, you know, I didn't realize until I saw the video clips, or until you came to present to the school, or if we presented at another forum, that individuals many times they approach our presenters afterwards and say, I just recognize that I am a victim of abuse. Many times we have individual counselors available because we know that happens too often, where someone will self-disclose and self-report because they're really surprised, or that they lived in a household where there was domestic violence, and then they really become more interested in learning more about the issue and getting into counseling, et cetera. So our public education events, they are really an eye-opener for many.
You know, I got some statistics together from the Internet, and I'm not sure how old they are, how accurate they are, but I pulled some stuff together to put on the page for tonight's show. And a couple of the things that I found stunning, number-wise, I guess, domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women, more than car accidents, muggings, and rapes combined.
That's correct.
That boggles my mind. I mean, the leading cause of injury.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then another. And then it says that studies are suggesting that up to 10 million children witness some form of domestic violence annually. 10 million children annually.
Well, if you think of one in three men and one in four to seven, I mean, one in three women being, you know, victims, I mean, it's just kind of doing the math, you know. If they have children, their children are witnessing that.
Mm-hmm. And again, in many cases, victims of abuse, they sometimes say, well, my children don't know. I told them to go in a room or they were asleep, but they do know.
Mm-hmm.
Children do know.
Oh, yeah, they hear everything. They hear, you know, they hear it all. You know, everybody thinks that it's, that they are, can be very, that they're being very quiet and there's no way anybody could know, but they know. And that's, I mean, that's a really important thing. If you think you're protecting your kids,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're really not protecting your kids, you know, being in this, they know what's going on. They know the fighting. They hear the fighting. I mean, I remember fights my parents had, and they didn't hardly ever fight, and they certainly never got physical. But, you know, when they would have an argument, I remember how that made me feel as a little kid. You know, so there's just no way they don't know that. Talk to me a little bit. Talk to us a little bit about the cycle of abuse. We hit on that several times, but I'm sure you guys can put that in a little package for us and explain exactly what that means.
Well, we talk a lot about power and control, and the cycle usually, you know, the first part is the initial meeting and the falling in love, you know, for whatever reasons any couples meet and fall in love, and then what happens? The abuse, and you might have seen this, you know, Lisa, from your marriage, it was a very gradual thing, I suspect. It wasn't, you know, right after you were married that your husband was abusive,
right.
You know, right. Verbally to you. And it's very, very gradual. And then when it happens, again, whether it's the serious verbal abuse or physical, then after that, there usually is a honeymoon stage. It's the I'm sorry, so it'll never happen again. I love you. But then it gradually starts up again. So it's just that kind of a circle, basically, is what we're talking about. And
okay.
We also talk about the cycle with children that all too often, and probably the majority of abusers and victims are repeating behavior that they saw in their own home.
Yeah.
Ladies, I'm just going to jump in here because we have a caller on the line. It's actually a friend of mine. Is this a good time? Can we take a question or a commentary?
Oh, yeah. That's great. You guys okay with that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, Nate, welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, Jack. Jack, welcome
Hi, Daria.
To the show. Hey.
Hey, I was just, it's a very important show you people are doing. It's a very important subject. Very underreported. It touches a lot of people, and I just want to make a comment. I think a lot of it, not all of it, of course, because everything in life is in degrees and percentages. But I think a lot of it is the dissolution of the family. Because I've been married for 20 years, and I have two daughters, and I firmly believe that it is the father's job to teach a daughter how a man is supposed to treat a woman by the way he treats his wife. And I believe it is a father's job to teach a son how a man is supposed to treat a woman by the way he treats his wife. And what happens is we've had this minimization of men in families, in the media, in popular culture, that is really, really put a thumb on men. And then we've had their own bad behavior, especially in certain groups, well, I'll leave it at that. But it's a horrible thing. And I think if we had a more solid family unit, I think we would see a decrease in this. Not a complete, you know, erasure of this, but certainly a decrease.
What do you ladies think of that, Dolly and Terry?
Again, when I think of family, there's all different types of families, and as you know, some families don't have both the mother and the father living in the same household. But in terms of domestic violence, there are two parties that are involved in a relationship. And we as an organization, we have always worked with strengthening the family relationship. And again, we work primarily with the victim and their dependent children. And we, again, we talk about the other party because we know that there is still some contact that, again, statistically speaking, It usually takes up to seven times for one to completely remove themselves from the relationship because, again, as stated a couple minutes ago about the cycle of abuse, there's that forgiveness, there's that wanting to make it a good relationship and to have that work, and that happens, and it happens over and over again. And we do want better role models for both children, males and females, growing up. And it's important that they have those role models, if not under the same roof, but in their life, that it can come from many circles, such as their school, any communities of faith, any civic groups, sports teams, that as society, we have to make sure that those role models do exist and that children do see what the best behavior is so that they can have some good role models that they can learn from. Yes, that is really, really important for everyone to have those perfect role models in their life.
I don't think role models necessarily have to be perfect, and I certainly disagree with you on one point, and that is that sports teams or other things can take the place of a mother and a father and a family. I really, really stress that we need to get back to having a mother and a father and a family, and stressing the value of marriage, stressing the value of being together. That's the problem. I've seen things. I work in a factory, and I work with them. Something happened to me the other day that I want to share with you. It was right after the punching in the face of that young woman by the football player. I can't remember his name exactly, but it was on the television. We all saw it. Sitting in a cafeteria with six women, black women, that's who I work with, five out of the six believed that he had every right to punch her in the face because you didn't know what he said. And I said, what about Chris Brown? Five out of the six of them said, well, you weren't in that car. You don't know what he did, what she did, what she did, what she did. So I think there's a cultural disconnect. There's a lack of chivalry. There's a lack of men standing up and going, no. And I think that's the problem.
There is actually a very good movement now starting amongst men, and it sounds like that maybe you would be a good asset to that as well. And it's of course now I'm going totally blank on it's the Men Against Domestic Violence, and actually if you go to our Facebook page, which is the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County, we posted a video today that they actually showed to the NFL owners, where one of the football players was really urging men to step up to be role models in their families, you know, definitely. And it was kind of aimed for them to educate their players. But and if you investigate a little bit, there is a big movement, and we would love to see more of it for men to stand up and speak out against domestic violence.
Yes, it's the Real Men Don't Abuse, and I know that the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence, they are asking more men to take the pledge about not abusing. And also, Jack, I just wanted to say that you're correct. I mean, I stand to be corrected. I didn't mean to say perfect, because I know that there is no perfect person in this world. So that was just a slip up, and I just wanted to point that out. And, yes, it's really important that children have role models. And also, it was not my intent to convey that by children getting involved in sports that they could take the place of a family. Families are really, really important. But we also have to recognize that there are different types of families today, and that we have to embrace the families as children recognize them to be.
And you know what? I think that's a great point, Dolly, because, you know, one thing that the whole idea of a nuclear family, I mean, let's be honest, that is very difficult to see today. Not only is divorce more rampant, and you know what? To me, it's not that divorce is the problem, it's people get married too easily. I don't think divorce is such a big problem. I think I think it's that you need to think a little bit more before you get married. That's my opinion, just saying. But the other thing, you know, the other thing is that families can be a lot of different, there are a lot of different pictures of families. It's not always a mom, dad, and two kids and a dog. That's not always a family. The family can be, you know what, dad died, you know, fighting for our freedom in Afghanistan, and so mom's on her own, and maybe Uncle Joe picks up the slack for dad. I mean, that's a family. Am I right there, or am I off?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like there are a lot of things. It's not always a divorce that breaks up a family. And I don't think a family is made just because you get married and have a kid. I mean, a family to me is the love and the respect and it's not just living under the same roof. There's more to it than that. You know, it's the love and the respect that you share, and the willingness to do anything for these other people. I think it's awesome when families stay together. Like Jack's saying, he's been married 20 years. Wow, that's amazing. You know, I mean, that's incredible. He has two girls, doing a great job with them. Obviously, I mean, he's teaching his daughters what to expect from a man and the ways of the way that they should be treated. That's exactly why I left my husband. That's exactly why I left my first husband, was because of the fact that I did not want my son to think that you talk to a woman the way my ex-husband did, and I did not want my daughter to think it was okay to be talked to. If I didn't make that change for both of them, and they were only 3 and 4 when we broke up, but the bottom line was I chose to end that marriage because I wanted the same thing that what Jack's saying. I wanted my kids to know better, you know, to know better and to see better. And you're right, Jack. That's exactly what it is. But they come in all shapes and sizes, I think, now, you know, and that's the difference.
I'm going to agree. But I always thought the best case scenario was a mother and a father. But I'm going to agree. It's gotten so far out of whack now that we're kind of reaching for whatever we can get, unfortunately. But I will say this: you ladies are doing God's work, and you do it every week, and a lot of people should be grateful for that. So
thanks.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to say thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for calling in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay. Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, really, another great point that I think Jack brought up was, and we should take a quick commercial break for a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about I have to assume that if a guy hits you, they're not hopeless. They shouldn't be put in a cell somewhere for the rest of their lives and never allowed to be near human beings again. So what resources are there for men? That's one thing. And then I want to talk about the warning signs, because I think that the warning signs are important for women and teenagers to know. But Derry, if you want to take us to commercial, everybody, we'll be back in just a minute and continue with talking with the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County, Dolly and Terry. And you can find out more about them at dvccc.com. Be right back.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RightStream and #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Right Stream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham, Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
We are talking to the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County with Dolly Wideman-Scott and Terry Moody, and we were just talking before we went to break. I wanted to bring up, you know, men don't necessarily get locked in a room for the rest of their lives if they commit a crime against women. Some do, but you know, when you, if a guy, I mean, I guess my point here about what I'm trying to get to is that, are there resources for men? If you're starting to feel like you're losing control, if you're starting to feel like, if you're having thoughts about committing an act of violence, if you have committed an act of violence and you want to stop it, you want to change, what do men do?
That's a really good question, Lisa. And unfortunately, there are really limited resources available for men. Most resources include going to a private therapist. And sometimes men really don't get help until they are court-ordered to do so. In Chester County, we do have the Batterers Intervention Services. And again, they have to be court ordered. It has to be repeated abuse, and then they have to go through a 12-week course with human services. But other than that, there are really, really limited services available. In Philadelphia, however, they do have a couple of organizations that provide services for men who batter and to help them learn how to have self-control. But again, it's real limited.
And I would, when we're talking to the teenagers, because again, we need to recognize this. We urge them, like if they are getting those feelings, you know, to talk to their counselor at school. They can call here, and our staff, you know, will try to direct them to give them ideas, you know, of some counseling they may be able to receive as well. There is a real need for that, for sure. And I think in different parts of the country they have different programs. We're hoping that this is something that can be developed, you know, more thoroughly in our area. But we just want them to know that it's not too late, that it's about power and control, but they can have control over their own actions. They, you know, they have the power within them to make that difference, and we hope that they'll do that.
That's the same sort of thing. You know, our show's about empowering women, and empowering men is also, I mean, I think a lot of times the reason men abuse is a very very undeveloped part of themselves, or a part of themselves that of course, a lot of it is just, this is what my dad did. This is how my dad acted. I'm sure that's a huge part of it. But I also think that if you can recognize it as a weakness within yourself, you can fix it. And, you know, just like we try to teach women, you deserve better. You deserve more. You know, it's the same for men. You know, the same thing applies for both sexes. And I want to be clear about that, because I think that that's important to bring up. I also want to give you guys, what do you guys do? What do you do with somebody from the second somebody calls your hotline, somebody calls and they've just been abused by their husband. What happens there? What services do you guys provide in Chester County?
Again, we really ask the question about their safety at that point in time and if they can talk. If not, we will help them figure out where they can go, where they can have a conversation. We inform them about the services that we do provide. And in addition to the hotline where they're calling, they could get access to our emergency shelter, which is available 24 hours a day. And in addition to that, we can talk to them about the array of services that we do have available to help them reach the point where they can feel confident about their safety. For example, individuals may want to use the legal system, and they may want to petition the court for the protection from abuse order. And that is a legal document. We have staff attorneys and legal advocates that can speak to them about what the process is, what it means. It's up to the courts as to the length of time that they could get a protection from abuse order. And with that order, they could get protection from abuse. They could get temporary custody of their children. They could also get access to the property where both parties are living. So there's a number of things that can happen. We also have an attorney that helps them work through the custody process. And, again, that's a process that can be long term, mm-hmm. that it doesn't happen overnight. But we have those resources available. In the event that they are interested in more long-term housing beyond shelter, that we have three long-term shelter programs that we call independent housing programs, and individuals can stay there it depends on the program, but one is now up to a maximum of 5 years. And while individuals are in those programs, we, again, work with them to set their goals and connect them with other resources to work with their financial situation. Many go through different education programs. So, again, many of the victims of abuse that contact our organization, they can go from being in a crisis situation to becoming really independent and self-sufficient and living in their own home with their children.
Also, I just wanted to say real quickly that we like to point out that sometimes if someone may be reluctant to call because they don't know that they're ready, you know, for all of these services that we offer, and again, our staff is very non-judgmental. We really listen to them and to assess what they're ready for, what they want to do. They can, and I'm sure, again, this is how it is all over the country, that when you call in a hotline number, it's totally confidential. You don't need to say, you know, at the beginning, if you're not asking for services, who you are, but you can just call to get the initial information. You're not committing at any point, you know, to make a move, but the help is there and the counseling is there for you immediately.
I think that's so important to say, too, like you guys were just saying, that sometimes it's a slow process. It's not, okay, you get hit or you get verbally abused or, you know, or whatever happens within your home and you walk away. You call DVCCC and walk away. That's not necessarily the way it works. Sometimes it is a process for women. A lot of times, I guess, it is a process. Otherwise, the statistics that you gave us earlier about how many times something happens before, you know, usually women reach out for real help is so, you know, it's obviously not one. The number's higher than that. I think you guys said something between 3 and 7 times or something.
7 is the average. Seven is the average that a woman will go back to, right. That situation. And also we need to remember that leaving an abusive relationship is the most dangerous time. In physical, especially when it's physical abuse, that's the most dangerous time. So telling them to leave right away may not be the best advice for them at their given situation.
Absolutely. And, I mean, obviously you need professional involvement, whether it be, obviously a center like, domestic violence center like you guys have, or the police, whatever. You're going to need other help. It's just not a matter of, I would imagine very few women just say, okay, I'm out, and walk away and get away safely. So I want to end this on you guys giving us just some information. Give us some warning signs for teens, for whether you're married, whether you're dating, whatever your situation is, what are some of the warning signs that women and men, abused, whether they're men or women that are abused, what are some of the warning signs that something is about to, that this person has tendencies that are violent?
Sure. And I'm going to divide it into a few different categories. Under a first one I'm going to talk to you about is emotional red flags. And that at the beginning, maybe starting to ignore what you say, talking over you, pretending not to hear you, not acknowledging you in public, seems embarrassed by you, does things that hurt your feelings, makes you feel crazy or plays mind games. Then when we get into the verbal red flags, it's going into making you feel badly about yourself, calling you names, criticizing you, putting you down, humiliating you or embarrassing you in public. Then when you get into the physical red flags, the person is violent. They might have a history of fighting. They might lose their temper quickly, brags about hurting others, maybe destroying your belongings, damages your car, has hurt you or threatened to hurt you. And also you need to see if a lot of times they'll threaten to or will hurt your pet. That's a big one. There's threatening red flags, scares you with looks, actions, gestures, threatens to leave you, threatens to commit suicide. When we get into isolating, we talk about saying jealousy is a sign of love, is possessive, controls what you do, insults your friends and family, makes it difficult for you to join activities or work. With controlling red flags, walks out on arguments, is not willing to discuss problems or work on improving the relationship, decides for you, gives orders, is bossy, thinks you don't know what's good for you, doesn't value your opinion, asks you to prove that you love him or her, constantly telephones or texts and expects you to be there. They may have double standards, doesn't trust you or other people, others have warned you. That's just kind of a real quick overview, but any of those, and we actually do have a handout on this, and when we're talking to the kids, we make sure they all have a hard copy of this list.
Yeah, those are obviously very, very clear warning signs, and I would imagine that there are a lot of people listening that hit, one of those that you listed hits a chord for them, and what if you live in Chester County and you're in trouble? What do they do? Who do they call? What's the number? Where do they go?
They would call our toll-free hotline number, which is 888-711-6270. And they would receive a live counselor, and also they can access our emergency shelter by calling that hotline number.
All right. That's great information. And everyone listening, the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County can be found at www.dvccc.com. And you can learn more about all you guys have. Your website is so easy to manipulate. I'm really actually into easy websites. Some of them I get onto and my head wants to explode because I can't find anything. This is so clear and so perfect. You know, there are drop down, everything drops down. What is domestic violence? What is dating violence? To the hotline number, the services that they offer, and everything is right there on the website. And again, the toll-free number, you can also call 888-711-6270, I believe, right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
That would be bad if I gave out the wrong phone number after all that. All right, and I want to thank Dolly Wideman-Scott and Terry Moody for being on our show tonight. Such an important topic. It's my hot button for whatever reason. It's the thing that really gets me passionate, and I really appreciate you guys being on and talking about this. It's not just for a month. I mean, domestic violence is year round, and although this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, it is a year round problem, and it's obviously probably even gets worse around the holidays, I would assume. If you're listening, whether you're listening live or you're listening in the archives, this, you know, call. If you live in Chester County, Pennsylvania, call DVCCC and get help. If you live in another area in the United States, go on the internet, look it up. I would imagine most counties have some sort of program where you can get some sort of help. And call them. Don't wait. Call and get help. At least get advice. At least get some kind of advice. At least have an ear to listen to you, and give you some advice. And it's not always run like you guys were just saying. It's not always pick up and go, because it's obviously not always the safest thing to do. But the best thing you can do is make that phone call and get help. So, ladies, again, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Daria has a story that she wants to read us, which I read, and it's really touching, and about domestic violence. So, I appreciate you ladies being on the show, and I hope you'll come back again, everyone. DVCCC.com. And check them out. They're in need of all. Get on their mailing list. These women that DVCCC helps are in need of food. They're in need of furniture. They're in need of daily, just everyday items, toiletries, all of that sort of thing. You get on their mailing list. You'll find out what they need. And sometimes they need a body to be somewhere. You need to be there to help them run an event. You guys are all over the place. I'm very impressed. Almost every place I go, when I go to an event, a holistic health fair or whatever, you guys have a table there. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Chester Springs at an event, and you guys were there. You guys are all over the place. You're doing your job. So everyone, let's help them out and get them the type of things that they need to help these women and children that are part of that are unfortunately in a domestic violence situation. Again, thank you so much, ladies, for being on. Really appreciate your taking the time tonight.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Derry, you want to read your thing? This was something Derry actually sent this to me earlier. I don't know when you got it. I think you just got it, didn't you, Daria?
Yeah, just like minutes before we went on the air, or maybe a little longer than that, but right before we went on the air tonight. And it's from my friend Jeff July. And let me give a plug for his book. He's also the author of a wonderful book named Amy Lynn, and you can find that on Amazon.com. And Jack is in one of my writers' groups on Facebook, and we've gotten to be good friends. And when I promoted the show tonight and he saw the link, that prompted him to send me the story. And it's short. I'm gonna read it. It's short, but let me tell you, it's very powerful. As you know, Lisa, because I sent it to you just before we went live tonight. Okay, so it's the story is entitled Our Monster by Jack July. The monster came every evening. You could set your watch by it. My mother and I would sit and watch television, and as the clock approached 9, we could sense each other's unease, knowing that any second it would arrive. Sometimes there were false alarms. We would sit terrified for a few moments, then not knowing what would happen. Maybe it was the wind blowing on the front gate. Maybe people walking down the street. Either way, it got our attention. When the front gate made a loud clank, the monster was here. It would come, and I could never figure out why it chose us, but it did. Mom didn't latch the door because the lumbering monster had broken it before. It would push the door open and step inside. You may wonder what it looked like. I can only give you the perspective of a 9-year-old boy. It was huge. Small pieces of metal hung from it that clinked when it walked. There were 2 bloodshot eyes, although I couldn't tell you the color. Over the years, we had learned not to make eye contact because it only made it angry. It could have been a man, but it was just too hard to tell. What really hit the senses was the smell. It smelled as though the earth had soured, a combination of dirt and some kind of vile excretion. I had never smelled anything like it before or since. It looked right through us like it had a bigger purpose, and we were in its way. Usually, it stomped through the house just looking for something it could never find. Occasionally, it would turn its attention to one of us. It would make a speedy charge and just stop short of any contact. It roared and slobbered like an old dog while expecting us to understand it, yet we only understood its gestures. Other times, it would walk straight to the kitchen and eat our food. Plates and cups broke and noises of smacking and chewing, like it would never get another meal. Then after it ate, it would return to scare us even more. I came to believe it existed for one reason, and that was to terrify us. You may wonder how. How can a thing that behaved the same way night after night and never actually physically harmed us kept us so terrified? Think of a coiled rattlesnake. If you stood a foot away from it, knowing what it could do while at the same time never being sure of what it would do, would you be afraid? Would you be afraid of something that had the power to kill you in seconds, something even more unpredictable than that rattlesnake? My mother and I never spoke about the monster. I never spoke to anyone out of fear they would think me crazy. Who gets visited every day by a monster? Once, when I was brave, I hinted to my friends about the monster. They turned and walked away. I learned quickly. No one truly cared about me except, of course, my mother. Was life all bad? No, we had fun. It seems dealing with the monster day after day allowed us to take great joy in the little things. We would go grocery shopping and laugh the whole time. My mother would buy us a pack of Archway cookies, the chewy ones with a splotch of gummy raspberry in the middle. Then sometimes in the evening when the monster would leave, she would take me to the local department store where we would get Coca-Cola Icy's, then stalk the aisle waiting patiently for the blue light to flash. We would see it and quickly walk to find what middle-class treasure had been offered for a greatly discounted price. Then, one day, what we feared most happened. On this day, the monster was not satisfied with our fears. It was out for blood. It attacked me first. That's when I saw my mother's rage. She went after the monster with a lamp. It clumsily batted it down and struck her hard, propelling her against the wall. The monster was wailing, thrashing, attacking as I jumped on it to save my mother. We fought with all we had. We fought for our lives, and suddenly, I don't remember when, but it was over. The battle was done. The monster was gone. We were crying and breathing hard as I hugged my mother.
I got up, went to the bathroom, and brought her a damp cloth to clean the blood from her face. As we dabbed her wounds, I could see in her eyes something had changed. What we both knew didn't change was that the monster would be back. He would come back and finish the job. The following morning, I awoke to find boxes on the living room floor, our suitcases open on the couch. She worked harder and faster and with more determination than I had ever seen her work before. Then we carried the boxes out to the old station wagon. She slammed the tailgate as I asked her, "Where are we going, Mama?" "You'll find out when we get there," she answered. We drove down the street and I looked back over the top of the seat. My mother said, "Turn around, Jack. Never look back." She turned onto the ramp of the expressway and hit the gas. After merging with traffic, she turned on the radio. Jackson Brown was singing, "Running on Empty." It was the day my father came home to an empty house.
I think that is such a powerful, powerful story. And it's exactly like we were saying at the beginning of the show. This is exactly the kind of thing that children remember from their childhood when they look back years later, when they've come from an abusive parent. And that says it all. I think that story says it all.
Yeah, it gave me the chills, and the first time I read it, and certainly just now reading it out loud, and I actually got choked up there too.
Me too.
My friend. But such a powerful story, and just the fact that in that short story, how he was able to convey that emotion, and how finally, how something just in his mother just said, "Okay, you know what? I have had it." Once that violence occurred, and he went after her child, and then went after her, just very powerful. That's all I can say. So
yeah, and I think in this situation, in a way, Jack was fortunate because when the monster did come after them, they survived it and they got away, and and he's able to talk about it years later, and that's not always the case. One of the statistics that I found when I was researching, about domestic violence at some point, was that at least one in three women, every day in the U.S., more than three women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends. Every day in the United States, more than three women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends. I mean, that's a pretty somber number. And even though it's three, and that seems like that doesn't seem like a big amount considering how many people die of other things in a day. But this is someone being murdered by their boyfriend or husband. And I bet you that is a low statistic. I bet you that's not even an accurate statistic. I don't know. I found it and I put it on the page for the show because it's just one of those things that blows my mind, And going forward, for future generations, men who as children witness their parents' domestic violence are twice as likely to abuse their own wives than sons of nonviolent parents. As another statistic, there's just so much out there. We know it's wrong. We know it has to be stopped. And I think that we first obviously look within our own homes and look within our own relationships and fix those. Do what we can for those, within ourselves and within our own home. But then you know what? Reach out locally. Reach out to, if you're from this area, reach out to the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County. Or your whatever your community domestic violence center, whatever, help them get whatever you can do. They need things, like I said, from canned goods all the way up to furniture and towels and I don't know, everything. These women a lot of times are starting all over with their children and they need things. And there's Chester County as well as I'm sure the other ones. In the United States also need your time. If you can give them some time, just a little bit of time to volunteer to paint a house or, get on their mailing list. Go to dvccc.com and get on their mailing list. Get on their mailing list and start getting the emails that would tell you what exactly it is they need for each and every family that's starting over in Chester County, Pennsylvania. Daria, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, a couple of quick thoughts. I mean, this is another one of those things that makes me say, thank you, God, for my upbringing, because I was very, very fortunate. It seems like every day I'm reminded just how blessed I was to have grown up in a stable, loving home. I mean, I did have a mom and a dad, and thank God they're still with me and they're still together. But, you know, and my dad worked a lot of long hours. My father was a surgeon. I mean, he was always getting called out of the house at crazy times of the night. So my mom did, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting when it came to child rearing. I mean, my dad was a wonderful dad, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that the burden, you know, the bulk of that fell on my mom, and she taught us, all of us, to stand up and speak up for ourselves. You know, my mother was very much about asserting your independence and not allowing anybody to abuse you. So I just, you know, I'm very grateful for that. And you know, we started the show talking about Ray Rice. But, you know, I want to talk about another football player. I want to talk about Tim Tebow just for a moment, if you will, because I just think this is a cultural problem where, you know, we've come to – look, and I'm not a prude, but I'm just saying I feel like we've objectified everything, and sex is just out there to a point where we're not teaching young kids to value themselves and their bodies. And I'm not here to give a lecture about – you know, never having premarital sex. I'm simply saying that I just think this breakdown of respect for yourself, for your own body, and for others has led us to this place. And I mean, I just think it's a pretty sad commentary on our society when somebody like Tim Tebow will be mocked and ridiculed for saying, hey, guess what? It's my choice. I'm going to wait until I get married. And that's like a source of ridicule among his colleagues, among commentators on ESPN and everywhere. And guess what? I guarantee you, Tim Tebow was a gentleman who would never even think of abusing a woman. And I'm sure he was raised properly by his mother and father. And I just think there's something really twisted in our culture when somebody can't express an opinion and say, here's what I'm choosing to do. Frankly, I found it refreshing in this culture of hookups where you have 12 and 13-year-olds doing things that they're not emotionally equipped for. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And I feel like it all ties in somehow with what's going on. I just think it's a breakdown of respect.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think that, too, you know, going back to the caller earlier, you know, we you can't look at it as, you know, the typical family. The typical family that you grew up in and that I grew up in is a rarity now. It's not the norm. It's a rarity. It's not as common as it used to be. It just isn't. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that we can't raise our kids with good morals and respect for each other and teach them how to be, you know, how to be good adults, you know, how to add something to the world. You know, stop making the world worse. Let's add a little bit to the world. You know, I guess that's my big thing is that, you know, I don't agree that a family has to be a mom, a dad, kids. I you know, that's awesome. If that's what you have, good for you. That's awesome. That's what how I grew up. That's how you grew up. That's how a lot of us grow up. But a lot of kids don't. They don't grow up in that situation. You know, I was a single mom of two young kids when I got divorced from my first husband. And you know what? I made sure that any relationship I had after that was going to be a positive one for my kids. I would never have gotten married again if I didn't know that my husband would treat my children just like they were his own. And that's exactly what he's done. So, you know, you can be a really good parent in a lot of different ways. It's not always the cookie cutter perfect nuclear way. It can be different. It can be different. You know, it can be different ways. So, you know, and I think that's important. I think that's important. Yeah, I mean, I hate to bring up, you know, like even like Hillary Clinton with her "It Takes a Village." Yeah, it really does take a village to raise a family now. It's not because of the fact mom, dad, they're not always in the picture. They can't always be there. It does take a group, sometimes a longer or a wider or spread group to help, to help give a kid morals and teach a child the correct behavior to exhibit and to expect to receive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think extended family members and friends can provide that
absolutely
in a given situation. So I do believe that it's individuals helping other individuals, whether it's a situation where you need to step in if someone's father is killed in the line of duty or leaves and abandons the family. And let me just say this, too, just getting back to, you know, my mom and dad just for a second. You know, I'm not married, but you can bet the house that if I was in a marriage and being abused, that they would be 100%, I mean, that guy probably wouldn't stand a chance if they found out about it, but they would certainly support me leaving. I mean, I don't mean to imply that I came from a family where no one gets divorced. I mean, I certainly have family members who have.
Right.
But it gets back to basic respect and teaching kids respect for themselves and others.
Well, and again, getting back to your comment about Tim Tebow, too, I totally agree with you there, because here's a guy that had the courage to come out and say, hey, this is me, this is what I'm choosing, and he's getting ridiculed for it, which is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. That's you know, I don't know where that stuff comes from. I don't know why it happens, but you know what? We should be able to make our individual choices, no matter what they are, and know that it's okay, and that we're going to be supported, and if not supported, at least not ridiculed. You know,
right.
You know that exactly. You're right, and I think the Tim Tebow thing kind of got pushed aside. And, you know, and everything because of the Ray Rice situation. But, you know, the bottom line is there was, you know, a video, and the video just kind of trumped everything, you know, everything that was going on.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know how you could be, you know, live in the world and not have seen that video somehow. I mean, you know, and it was disgusting. It was disgusting and it was horrible. And, you know, and I think it got a lot of people riled up, and a lot of people asking questions about how does this happen, you know, how does this happen to somebody. But I think this was an important topic, and I'm glad we covered it tonight.
Oh, definitely. It was a great interview. I really appreciated them coming on, and I learned a lot. I know that for sure, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. And the great thing about all of our shows is that, and including this one, is that it will be archived, so anyone who missed it live, we'll be tweeting it out and promoting it out there for you to share. And, you know, especially with anyone you know that might be in an at-risk situation,
you know,
share it with them and, you know, let them know that there's help.
Right. And you can find all our shows, by the way, at blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. That's WRITESTREAM. And we start off the week with my show, Just Believe, at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Move on to Military Monday with John D. Gresham at 1 p.m. Tuesday is Race Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Wednesday right now is newly open. Wednesday we had the Family Power Hour with Dr. Billy Eisenberg and Sheena Benjamin Wise. But unfortunately, for personal reasons, they had to back away from the show for at least for now. So Wednesday nights is now open, but Thursday nights, obviously, we have Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on with myself, Lise Tarvis, and Daria Ann at 7 p.m. Fridays, starting, I think, this Friday. Yes, tomorrow. The Speculative Fiction Cantina with S. Evan Townsend is going to be airing at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Saturdays, starting, I don't know when. Do we have a date for that yet?
I think it's tentatively a week from this Saturday. So the 18th, I believe it will be airing. SEO Strategies with Snapperhead.
Yeah, SEO Strategies with Snapperhead. That's going to be on Saturdays. I don't know if we even have a time for that yet. He's still putting, you know, dotting his I's and crossing his T's with figuring all the ins and outs. But that's going to be a really I think that's going to be a really interesting show for everyone, too. So we are looking for something to fill in Wednesdays. But other than that, we've got a full lineup every week on the Right Stream Network. And you can find out more about the Right Stream Network, about Daria, and about myself at rightstreamradio.com. You can follow us on Right Stream at Right Stream. You can follow the show on Right Stream, or I'm sorry, you can follow the show Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on Twitter using @LoveLibertyLips. Love Liberty Lips. The hashtag for this show is LLL, hashtag LLL. The hashtag for RightStream is hashtag RightStream. And Facebook, of course, we're all over there, too. So you can find all our pages on Facebook and Twitter. And I think that covers everything.
Well, I just two quick things. I just want to thank BigDogMusicMafia.com. I'm sorry, BigDogMusicRadio.com. It changed their name for rebroadcasting in a Big Dog, B-A-W-G, musicradio.com. Check them out. They have all kinds of talented musicians and every type of genre from country to classic rock. And Lisa, I just want to mention another thing about October that I did not know until the other day, and it really helped me out because I was booked up through November, but I didn't know what I was going to do next week for RightStream Tuesday, and then I discovered that October is also Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
Wow,
And as you know, my older brother Ralph, my just awesome brother Ralph has Downs, and I decided that I was going to devote Tuesday's show to talking about Down syndrome and how wonderful they are. And Daniela Boba, who has become a friend of mine, who's also an author, she also had a sister who unfortunately passed away from Downs when she was very young, and she's agreed to kind of jump on board and sort of co-host with me. So our show on Tuesday will be about Down syndrome awareness.
That's awesome, and I have a cousin, a second cousin, who also has Down syndrome, and it's such a such an important topic, and such wonderful people. I mean, they're just wonderful people, and I know how much you love your brother, and I think it's gonna be an awesome show, and I had no idea that it was Down syndrome month too. I didn't know that. So that's
I didn't either until a few days ago. So
October is just a very busy month. Busy month in October. Breast cancer awareness, domestic violence awareness, and now we have Down syndrome awareness, which is interesting. And it's a busy month. So next week on the show, by the way, everyone, we're going to be having Josie Milner on. She's a country music musician and she's an anti-bullying advocate. So that actually ties in well with tonight because, like we said, a lot of the abuse starts with bullying, and I would imagine teenagers all around the world should listen to next week's show because Josie's going to be talking about what she's done. She's a young lady just actually becoming popular in country music, which is awesome. I love country music. Country music's my genre. So really excited to have her on next week on Thursday night. And I guess, I don't know, do you have anything else?
No, I just, just want to say again, thanks everyone for listening. And you definitely tune in tomorrow for the debut of the Speculative Fiction Cantina with Evan Townsend. That's going to be a great show. And I should just expand upon our opening for Wednesday night because I've been putting it out there. Lisa and I are looking for a show either in one of these three areas. Okay, one sort of a paranormal haunting show, but it would have to be exclusively focused on hauntings and ghosts. I guess for lack of a better term, ghost hunting. No psychic readings. Lisa does that already on her show. But if we could get a show that's dedicated to the paranormal and people who investigate hauntings all around the country or in their state, that would be a great thing. Or in lieu of that, we would love to have a life coach doing some type of motivational show to help people in all aspects of their life, from career to self-confidence to better communication skills. Or thirdly, and I would really love this, a fitness show, like a health and fitness show hosted by a professional in that arena. The host that we're looking for, though, should have a big following on social media, already have a lot of influence, and obviously be experts in their field. So if we could find a host in any one of those three areas, that would be wonderful. You could contact us at rightstreamradio.com. If you click on the contact tab, send us an email with your suggestion, or if you yourself fit the bill, that will go to both Lisa and I, and we can get in touch with you. Or you can reach me at my blog at dariadigiovanni.com and contact me there.
We actually have a caller on the line that wants to has a comment about tonight's topic. So why don't we take that real quick before we hang up tonight and end the show. So let's see. Hi, what's your first name?
Hey, how you doing? This is Q from Atlanta.
Hi, Q. How
Hi,
are
Q.
you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Just wanted to hear you ladies' thoughts on something. Ever since the Ray Rice scenario, my colleagues and I, we've been really looking at domestic violence. Of course, me personally, I want it all to stop. But I found out something very interesting. I want to see how you ladies take it or view it. I got to research the Department of Justice and the CDC family numbers. And it showed me that 42% of all abused women are abused by other women in domestic violence scenarios, while straight males tend to do it only at 35%. Now, of course, I said to myself, well, you know, that's not everything recorded, but it could be both ways. Then a friend of mine pointed out something I found very interesting. I want to see your take on it. He said, well, if you notice, when women abuse, especially when women abuse men, it's celebrated on TV. It's a bunch of laughter. It's all this stuff. Because he was of the thing, domestic violence will never go away because ladies don't like holding ladies accountable for domestic violence. And I said, well, that can't be true. And then he showed me this popular show, Teen Mom, that went on for a year, of the girl just beating the boy, socking him in the mouth. And he showed me Sharon Osbourne making reference to putting a penis in a blender and all the women busting out laughing. So my question to you two ladies is, with all these things going on, and we as guys, we look at it like, wow, we didn't realize it was to that level. But all we hear is the men, the men, the men. How do you ladies feel about the women not being held accountable for their abuse?
You know what? Abuse is abuse. I don't care if it's women with women or men with men. Abuse is abuse, and abuse is illegal. It is illegal to assault someone else in this country, and I'm sure many others. So I find it a little... I don't know the statistics on what you're saying. I mean, I have not seen those statistics myself. But, you know, I don't know. I know that I don't personally. And all you can do really is personally take responsibility for yourself. You can't really take responsibility for other people. You can only take responsibility for yourself. I certainly don't think there is anything okay about hitting another woman, and I certainly would not think it was funny to sit. I would not sit around with my friends laughing about some sort of assault on a man or a woman. I don't find it amusing at all. And if I see it happening, guess what? I'm calling 911. You know, and that's what everybody else should do too. If you see women attacking women, if you see men attacking men, if you see men attacking women or women attacking, whatever you see, if it's an attack, it's an assault, and that is illegal. That is not okay.
Q, I agree with Lisa. Abuse is abuse. I do agree with you, though, on the whole cultural thing. I mean, if we even look at a show as silly as Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, he was so, like, emasculated. And I absolutely love Patricia Heaton. I mean, I thought she was a great actress. But I'm just saying, even at that silly example, you know, it is. Men, I think, have been so emasculated. And men, I think, and I don't, you know, they don't even know, like, should they hold the door open for a woman? Is she going to think that that's rude? You know, I'm sorry that we're at this point in our culture, because I definitely see that. I mean, I don't justify abuse, whether it's coming from a man or a woman, in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know if you heard me, but I mentioned, you know, Lisa and I just talked about Tim Tebow, you know, how he was mocked and ridiculed for saying, I've made a personal decision, I'm going to wait until I'm married to have sex. And that was just mocked and ridiculed. But meanwhile, we have other celebrities who are having, like, you know, kids with all different women and men, and that's sort of like everybody thinks that's cool. So I do think that there's, like, this cultural scenario at play, although I do also, it does get down to personal responsibility. I believe that no matter what's going on TV or wherever, you still need to conduct yourself with dignity and respect yourself and other people.
Oh, I'm very proud you two ladies said that. I will bow out by saying this. I always now ask ladies what they think, because since I found out this information as fact, I kind of found it disingenuous when people would come on in DV situations and make it seem like it's guys. And while I do want people to be helped and get away from their abusers, I find it also kind of crazy how, you know, on a comedy show I can kind of tolerate, but real life scenarios and when Sharon Osbourne made that statement and all the women bust out laughing and the guy showed me this, and it's like, you know what, I guess it is like that. I guess it's one of those scenarios. But now we as guys who are quote-unquote warriors or tip of the spear, we're just choosing not to be involved anymore. I mean, I got cursed out one time for holding open a door for a lady. I didn't even see it coming. And I just said, you know what, I'm not going to be involved.
That's ridiculous. And you know, it's like Darius said, it's very sad that we've gotten to this point now, because quite frankly, chivalry is a beautiful thing, and I don't see anything wrong with, we walk to the car, my husband and I, he still opens my door for me, you know, and honestly, when I get to a door, if he's standing behind me, I usually wait for him to open it. It's just a habit for me. I don't even think about that. And I think that it is sad that we're at that place where you have to be worried about that. But I do think that that is the exception, not the rule, that you're going to run across someone like that. I don't know too many women that don't appreciate men acting like gentlemen in a situation like that. There's no reason that anyone should feel that in any way is offensive. Please, that's ridiculous. And about the TV show thing, the TV show thing, reality TV, as far as I'm concerned, they could turn it all off and never play another reality TV show, and I'd be in a happy place and do a happy dance all around my house. I can't stand reality TV. A, there's nothing real about it, okay? It's all scripted. It's all crap. It's not, there's no realness to it. I maybe originally it started out that way, but to keep it, please, they're cutting stuff out, they're adding stuff in, they're pasting stuff together. It's just ridiculous. So, I don't know. And you know what, those fights, a lot of times those fights you see on there and the comments that are said, they're said for effect. They're said for ratings. They say them and they do this stuff to get people's jaws to drop so that they get, oh, I got to see what happens next week. You know, and that's why, as far as I'm concerned, they could stop reality TV and I'd be okay.
And I do agree with you. Less of the reality portion and more so of the domestic violence portion. I think it's sad when they put domestic violence situations on where the guy is getting slapped and punched and all this type of stuff, and they celebrate it. It is what it is.
No, I agree. You're right, and it shouldn't be celebrated. And I think we probably have to put that in the entertainment industry's lap as their responsibility. But the way we get their attention is by not watching it anymore. If you see something like that offends you, if you see something, I don't want to watch anything violent. I don't want to watch horror shows. I don't want to watch anything violent. I have no interest in anything like that, so I would not turn it back on. And if enough people do that, hopefully it gets networks' attention and they start changing their programming a little bit.
Well, I'm going to hang up, ladies, but I just wanted to leave you with something. The Hope Solo thing, I find it odd sometimes when we as a culture, we make excuses for that. But we say the Ray Rice is worse because there was video. But I always point to people, Shamika Holzclaw. She's a lesbian WNBA player. Her girlfriend didn't want to be with her anymore, and she bashed out the window of her car and took a gun and shot into her door as she drove off. Originally, she was facing 65 years, but at the end of everything, she did no jail time. That type of domestic violence, I just don't understand how they get off like that, but it's something that caused me to ask.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and I think that you're right. I think a lot of it is it's just it's slanted a little bit towards being more unusual for, you know, something like that to happen with women. And I think that, you know, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. I don't know that. I honestly don't know that story. But I do, you know, I think it's ridiculous. Everybody should be held accountable no matter what your sex is. You should be held accountable equally.
Absolutely. Whatever the behavior is.
Absolutely.
If it's stealing, if it's, you know, causing a public disturbance, whatever you're doing that's wrong, man or woman, you should be held accountable.
Totally agree. Thanks so much, Q, for calling in. We really appreciate it. Appreciate your opinion.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, great points. I mean, he made some really great points, and I'm sure there are a lot of men out there that feel like, you know, hell, my wife beats the crap out of me. That's not okay either. It's not okay either way. You know, it's just not. I think the man, you know, the reason it gets so much more attention, men against women violence, is because of the fact that men are, you know, women are outmatched when they go up against a man. You know, you're just outmatched. Men are built differently. Where, you know, they're
right.
they can do way more damage than they even realize. You know, that's one of the things that I even have a problem with spanking. I don't believe in spanking children, and, you know, that's very controversial, but I feel like, you know what, when you're angry, you can lose it very easily, and I don't think, especially men, know their own strength, and I don't think women understand their own strength when it comes to, you know, abusing a child. So, you know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of places we can go with that, but I think the blanket statement needs to be abuse is abuse, and it's never okay. It's assault, and assault is illegal, and assault should be prosecuted, you know, equally. That's my feeling on it.
I agree.
All right. Anything else, Daria?
No, I'm excited that we had callers, I have to say.
Yeah, I know. It's really cool. It's really cool. We've been doing a lot of, we relaunched Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with a whole different type of idea in mind, and I think it's working out really well. We're really bringing it, we're hoping to bring attention to a lot of very important topics that are topics for women, but, you know, everybody realized tonight we had two male callers. They were our only callers, and they were both men. So, you know, obviously the topic of women's issues is not just a woman's issue. It is also men's issues as well. There are people issues, you know, I guess they're just people issues.
Yeah, nature issues. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So, but anyway, I think that's it with that for tonight, everyone. Please go to the archives and listen to any of our shows at blogtalkradio.com/rightstream. Or you can check us out on Twitter. We're tweeting all day long. That's what Daria and I do all day long, is we tweet. Tweet, tweet, tweet. And so we're at, I'm at Lisa Tarvis. Daria is at Daria Ann. And our this show is at Love Liberty Lips. And Rightstream is at Rightstream. So follow us on Twitter. You can check us out, see everything we're doing. And with all of our shows, I mean, you know, Daria and I do two shows. So we do this show, and then we each do an individual show. So there's lots going on with both of us. So absolutely check us out. You can check my website, lisatarvis.com. And Daria, what's your website?
DariaDiGiovanni.com.
All right. So there you go, everyone. Check us out there, and we appreciate so much everyone listening and everyone that listens in the archives, whether you listen live or you can't listen live and listen in the archives. We really appreciate your tuning in, and we will be back next week with Josie Milner, who we're going to be talking about not only Milner. I don't know if I said Milner or Milner. Her name's Josie Milner, and she will be talking to us about her career in country music as well as anti-bullying. So we will touch on that next week. And until next week, everybody, thank you very much for listening. Thank you to the callers that called in, and we look forward to next week's show.
Good night.
Good night.